candles near the beginning of the service, but we will be lighting them following the message as a response to our message this year. Also, we're not using traditional Advent readings this year from Isaiah and some of the regular Gospels. We're using the Gospel of John for our scripture, which doesn't have a traditional nativity story in it. But we're using it this year to offer something different and a different perspective. We're also using another reading for the four Sundays of Advent. It's a poem written by Reverend Lee Spice entitled The Christmas Card. Both of these readings were available to you today, and you have them on a sheet when you came in. Does anybody missing one of those? Everybody have one? David, do you have extra? There's anybody else need one? Okay. So these are the basis of our Advent messages as well as Christmas Eve, and we won't read through all of them each week, but parts of them as they relate to the message. But we will be reading through them today. So we hear this scripture as you see it in your on your sheet, actually, from John 1, 1 to 18. In the beginning there was the Word. The Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. The Word was present to God from the beginning. Through the Word, all things came into being, and apart from the Word, nothing came into being that had come into being. In the Word was life, and that life was humanity's light, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken. Then came one named John, sent as an envoy from God, who came as a witness to testify about the light, so that through his testimony, everyone might believe. He himself wasn't the light. He only came to testify about the light, the true light that illumines all humankind. The Word was coming into the world, was in the world. And though the world was made through the Word, the world didn't recognize it. Though the Word came into its own realm, the Word's own people didn't accept it. Yet any who did accept the Word, who believed in that name, were empowered to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor urge of flesh, nor human will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and stayed a little while among us. We saw the Word's glory, the favor and position a parent gives an only child, filled with grace, filled with truth. John testified by proclaiming, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'The one who comes after me ranks ahead of me, for this one existed before I did.' Of this one's fullness, we've all had a share, gift on top of gift. For while the law was given through Moses, the gift and the truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only begotten ever at Abba's side who revealed God to us." A word from our Holy Scriptures. And now I'm going to invite Martha to read Lee's poem for us this morning.
The Christmas Card. In glittering letters, the Christmas card proclaims, "Wishing you the wonder of Christmas." As if we could recapture the wonder that we felt as children, if we remember feeling wonder at all. As if, in our 21st century lives, we could open our hearts, knowing that the ambient mall noise is what is waiting to rush in. Canned music and buying frenzy, and Santa, and presents, and too many Christmas activities. And when did the obligations of friend and family become, well, obligations? The message is relentless. You have to have it. You have to have this. Magic, joy, peace, wonder. Words tossed carelessly into conversation, like croutons into a salad. What's the matter with you? Aren't you feeling it? And what happens on December 26th? Is whatever wonder we have conjured for the season put away with the tinsel and the glittering stars? I wonder. If we retrace our steps to the source, to turn our backs on the bright light and squint into the darkness, what would we see? In the depths of a Palestinian night, a squalling babe, a young mum, and a dad hoping to do the right thing, a family starting from scratch, an uncertain future lit by the cold blinking of the stars, a promise born in the usual bloody way, a promise that God is with us. God is with us in all of our usual ways. I wonder, when the tide threatens to overwhelm, if we were to run back to that dark night, whether the wonder would return. Would we find solace in the ordinary? Would we find amazement in the mundane? Would we find promise in the usual? Would we find God in the uncertain? I just wonder. This Christmas, may you find the time to squint into the gloom. May you catch a glimpse of the ordinariness of the Holy Family. May the cold stars light your way, and may you find wonder in the darkness.
A million brilliant things. That's our theme for this Advent. I went to a play in the summer about brilliant things, and the actress who played it was a one-woman show. Amazingly, showed us that there are many brilliant things in life if we have the opportunity to stop and recognize them. But it's hard to remember in the midst of difficult things that there are so many moments, small or otherwise, that bring us hope and joy. Ordinary, even mundane things that give meaning to life and make each day special, if we will just stop to notice and remember those little things that bring meaning to our lives. Throughout this season, we want to take the time to see and remember, to notice and name the million brilliant things that lighten our load and brighten our lives. To wonder and be wonder-filled at the things in our lives that offer just those tiny sparks of brilliance in sometimes dark times. And today, each day, we will have a theme. Each Sunday, we will have a theme through Advent. And today, we start with relationships and of the many ways that we love and are loved. There are few things, if any things, in our lives that give us a greater sense of joy and purpose in our lives than our relationships. And there's nothing more powerful in the world than love. Nothing. There is no power or energy more powerful than love. And it is love that fuels the greatest change in the world. Not power or hatred, not money. Research has proven that without connection, without nurturing, without being with others, babies and children and seniors, well, everyone fails to thrive. All kinds of pathologies develop in people who are disconnected from others. In fact, I just started reading a book this week called The Myth of Normal. And in it, Gabor Mate says that the greatest problems in our world and even in our physical health come from not recognizing our connections, our need to be connected. We need people to care for, and we need people who care for us. Lee reminded us in her poem that family and friends are not to be obligations. When did they become obligations? They are our lifeblood. Relationships are to be treasured and nurtured, for it is only in relationship that we become better for ourselves and for others. So when our relationships become obligations, we need to do some soul searching, for relationships are to be mutual and life-giving. And the source of our relationships, John says, is our relationship with the Holy, our relationship with God. We are, first and foremost, he says, children of God, created in love. And this is the knowledge that our world needs to recover, that we need to recover. The deep connection we need to nurture is with the Holy. The still, small voice that we have inside that draws us into communion and connection with all that is. It is this love that animates and enhances all life. And when we truly get that non-judgmental, unconditional love is ours, and really absorb it, then the love that we offer to others will be life-giving and authentic. Can we squint into the dark? Into the holy, the mysterious, and retrace our steps once again through this season to the source, to the Word, the creator of all things. Out of this is born the hope and healing that is so needed in our world today. Prior to the events of Jesus' birth in our familiar stories that I didn't read today, we are told of two people willing to risk everything out of their love for God. That's why they did it. Mary, who was willing to break with tradition and risk her reputation, in fact, her very life, to bring this child into the world. And Joseph, who was trusting and faithful, chose to take Mary as his wife against the laws of his own people in order to make this family whole. Their relationship with God and with each other transcended the circumstances to make something miraculous out of what could actually have been a tragedy, because in the law, Mary should have been stoned to death. This small family, this fragile, uncertain, poor, and ordinary family brought into the world something so extraordinary that the world was forever changed in the person of Jesus. It is actually Mary and Joseph and their relationship that set the stage for Jesus to do what he did in the world, to show God's love to the world. And this is the nature of all relationships. They change lives. They bring hope and healing. They create something greater than the sum of their parts. Even the smallest acts of kindness done with great love, as Mother Teresa reminds us, are acts of transformation. Think of the relationships that you've had in your life that have most encouraged and sustained you. Think of all of the people in your life who have touched you deeply, even if in a small, seemingly insignificant way, that they might not even have known would make a difference, such a difference in your life. I'm going to give you an example of that in just a minute. But think of the sacrifices that others have made for you and what you have been willing to sacrifice for others to make relationships work. What in our relationships have inspired, healed, or transformed us? What is it about caring and being cared for that makes us whole and gives real color to our lives? And what acts, small or large, have had an impact on us? Who has been particularly significant to us and why? This is why you have the sticky notes. I'm going to invite you in just a minute to write on your sticky notes just one point, one thing in your life that has made a difference because of your relationships. One thing in your relationships that stands out to you as a brilliant thing. Write them down, one per note, the brilliant things about relationships, what they offer and what we have to offer in our relationships, what's important in relationships. I'm going to give you a couple of examples as you're thinking about that. Several years ago when I was quite ill and I was in the emergency department of a hospital, and I could barely move. I was in so much pain. And you know how you have on those stupid gowns? And I couldn't reach to do it up or anything, and I had to go someplace in the hospital. And the young doctor who was treating me after I'd left the cubicle to go wherever just quietly came up behind me and tied up the back of my gown. I have never forgotten that. That made such a big impact on me. So I wrote down those who go out of their way to notice and do something. It's so important. And the other thing is, they're not here today, but there are some very good huggers in this congregation, but there's one when they're here and they give me a hug on a Sunday morning, for some reason, I just go, oh, there's something about it. I don't know why, but so I wrote another brilliant thing about relationships, a good hug. It makes a difference. Recently, somebody told me that, one of the social workers in town said to me, you had somebody come and get something through the Benevolent Fund once, and they came back to me, and they were very, very grateful for what the church had provided for them, but what this person was most grateful for was you offered a hug. I just said, can I give you a hug? I always ask, but can I give you a hug? And that was transformative for them. A good hug. So I'm going to ask you to write something not brilliant. I didn't write anything brilliant, but it's brilliant in the fact that it makes a difference in our lives. So something that makes a difference in our relationships. I'm going to invite you to write them on your stickies, and I have lots more if you need like a million, and David has some as well. But if you need more, just put up your hand and David or I will get them to you. And then I'm going to invite you to stick them on the sheets on either side of the sanctuary, the blue sheets. And we're going to collect those at the end of the service. And we're going to collate those, write those all down, and have those until between the three communities of faith, we'll have a million brilliant things from each week. So write down what is brilliant about relationships. What makes a difference to you? And while you're getting up to put those on the stickies, you have had people in your life who have made a significant difference in your life that you have lost. People who are no longer with us, but they've made a difference in your life. While you're up putting your stickies on the sheets, there are chrismons over here as well. And this is the memory tree. So while you're up putting your stickies on, come and get a chrismon and put it on the tree for the people you have loved and lost. I'm going to invite you, we don't have a million chrismons, unfortunately, so to take one, but as you put it on the tree, remember those people who have had a significant impact in your life that you have loved and lost. On the tree, anybody need any more stickies? This tree will remind us, it is our memory tree, and it will stay on throughout the season and through Christmas. And it's actually going to be moved over and join the other trees for the beautiful tableau. And if you haven't got an opportunity, come and take a look at the end of the service, because the nativity scene is set up there as well, and it's quite beautiful. Our Advent candle lighting this year will take place following the message this year. It is all of the brilliant things over the course of Advent that we will be sharing each week that brings light into our lives and into the world. So today we will light the first Advent candle, the candle that reflects the brilliant things that we put up, the brilliant things in relationships. So let's join in the responsive liturgy on the screen, and after that, Trent and David are going to come and light our Christ candle.